मुखम करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरम्। So we're reading from Canto 7. For the ones who have just come, I would request you all post Hare Krishna with your name and whoever is attending from your place, so that we compile towards the end the attendance and post it here, and we get to know how many people have come. So post Hare Krishna and your name and whoever is attending with you. Okay, so what are we taking up? Basically, let me explain. So from Srimad Bhagavatam, we're going to discuss from Canto 7, Chapter 1, Chapter 2, Chapter 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. So we intend to do this 10 chapters of Bhagavatam. it's a very, very great project that we're taking up. But it all depends, if we have taste, we'll be able to go up to 10 chapters. And suppose if you're able to complete 10 chapters, towards the end of 10 chapters, you'll be a different person altogether. No doubt about it. That is Bhagavatam, I guess. So let's get into it. And we'll try our best to complete as many verses as possible in one session. So please open the text. It's a Canto 9, Canto 7, Chapter 1, Text 1. Everyone is ready? Please chant. Shri Raja Vacha,
Shri Raja Vacha,
Samapriya Surat Brahman,
Samapriya Surat Brahman,
Bhutanam Bhagavan Swayam,
Bhutanam Bhagavan Swayam,
Indriyasyarthe Katham Daityan,
Indriyasyarthe Katham Daityan,
Avadhid Vishamo Yatha,
Avadhid Vishamo Yatha.
Translation. King Parikshit inquired, "My dear Brahmana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, being everyone's well-wisher, is equal and extremely dear to everyone. How then did he become partial like a common man for the sake of Indra and thus kill Indra's enemies? How can a person equal to everyone be partial to some and inimical towards others?" So here Parikshit Maharaj is asking question to Shukadeva Goswami, and he's asking this question that Lord Sama, how is it that he's taking side of some people and then he's rejecting others, or basically he's taking side of some people and killing others? Like he takes the side of the demigods, and then he kills demons. And throughout we have seen this. Krishna takes the side of Krishna, or Vishnu takes the side of demigods, and then he kills demons. He takes the side of Indra and he kills the demons. So now the question is, if he's really not partial, then why is he doing this? This is the question. And from here starts, this is the prerequisite for Prahlad Maharaj's pastime. So prerequisite itself will take good number of days, and then we'll enter Prahlad Maharaj's pastime. So purport. In Bhagavad Gita 9:29, Lord says, "Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshosti napriyaha." I'm equal to everyone. No one is dear to me, nor is anyone my enemy. In the previous canto, however, it has been observed that the Lord sided with Indra by killing the demons on this account. Therefore, the Lord was clearly partial to Indra. Although he is a super soul in everyone's heart, the soul is extremely dear to everyone. And similarly, the super soul is also dear to everyone. Thus, there cannot be any faulty action on the part of the super soul. The Lord is always kind to all living entities, irrespective of form and situation. Yet he took the side of Indra just like an ordinary friend. This was the subject of Parikshit Maharaj's inquiry. As a devotee of Lord Krishna, he knew very well that Krishna cannot be partial to anyone. But when he saw that Krishna acted as the enemy of the demons, he was somewhat doubtful. Therefore, he posed this question to Shukadeva Goswami for a clear answer. A devotee cannot accept that Lord Vishnu has material qualifications. Maharaj Parikshit knew perfectly well that Lord Vishnu, being transcendental, has nothing to do with material qualities. But to confirm this conviction, he wanted to hear from the authority Shukadev Goswami. Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur says, Samasya katham vaishamyam. Since the Lord is equally disposed towards everyone, how can he be partial? Priyasya katham asureshu pritya abhavah. The Lord, being the super soul, is extremely dear to everyone. Why then should the Lord display unsympathetic behavior towards asuras? How is this impartial? Surudascha katham teshva saura sauhardam. Since the Lord says that he is Surudam Sarva Bhutanam, the well-wisher of all living entities, how could he act with partiality by killing demons? These questions arose in the heart of Parikshit Maharaj, and therefore he inquired from Shukadeva Goswami. This is called as quality of questions. this is how he's asking. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking, you know, Lord is Samaha, equal to everyone. Priya, he is very dear to everyone. Surud, he's the well-wisher of everyone. And all of us know this. You know, Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita also. He says that Surudam Sarva Bhutanam, I'm well-wisher of everyone. So how is it that Krishna is killing some people? Why is he doing that? So this is the entire discussion. So from this question, we are entering the series of Prahlad Maharaj. And through this question, we are going to see various aspects, you know, various different aspects before Prahlad Maharaj comes into picture. We'll be seeing various different aspects. And there'll be so many things to learn. So many things. So many things to learn about Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. And there'll be so many things to learn about a devotee and how a devotee should be. So here, now the question is that if Lord is Samaha, Priya and Surud, then why is he killing demons? So towards this entire purport, that's what Prabhupada is also trying to ask. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is pointing the same. So here when Krishna is saying that I'm equal to everyone, equal to everyone means he should be very loving to everyone. Yes. Even in this world we see. So you know, if Lord is, you know, many people ask this question. If Lord is really loving everyone, then why is it that some people are really suffering, some people are enjoying and so on and so forth. So all these questions will be answered. And more importantly, why is it that Lord kills someone and why is it that Lord blesses someone? Now, in the next verse, you know, it will be very clear that Lord has nothing to do with all of us. Let's try to understand from the next verse. Translation, text 2. For the ones who have just come, Canto 7, Chapter 1, text 2. Lord Vishnu himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the reservoir of all pleasure. Therefore, what benefit would he derive from siding with the demigods? What interest would he fulfill in this way, since the Lord is transcendental? Why should he fear the asuras and how could he be envious of them? Purport. We should always remember the distinction between spiritual and material. That which is material is infected by material qualities, but these qualities cannot touch that which is spiritual or transcendental. See, one thing is very clear. Spirit is on a higher platform. Okay. Now, the spirit cannot be touched by something lower, that is material. Now, it cannot capture. Now you might have asked, you know, you might have a question. Then how is it that we are there in this material body? We are there in this material body, but this material body cannot touch us actually. We are there inside, but this material body cannot touch us. But the problem with us is, from many, many lifetimes, we have been in the material body and in the association of matter. And we have been thinking, I am this matter. Throughout. In fact, there's a nice humorous allegorical story. There was one person, a brahmana. I don't know what sort of brahmana he was. He purchased a goat for sacrifice and he was planning to eat that. For sure a Kaliga brahmana. Then he took, I was telling this in one of the Bhagavatam class, the ones who have heard they might be knowing. So he took that goat from one village and he was going back to his village. Now there were three rogues, and they wanted to take the goat without hurting the brahmana or without harming the brahmana. Now what they did was, the brahmana was getting the goat and then he was having the goat behind. He was holding the goat like this behind him. And then the first rowdy was standing just outside that village. And then when the Brahmana was passing, he asked, "Hey, Brahmana, why are you carrying a dog with you? Hurry, you're a Brahmana, you shouldn't touch a dog. Dog is dirty." And Brahmana, he got a question. "Hare Bapre, no, it's a goat. It's not dog." He said, "No, it's a dog." Then what he did was, he got the doubt, he started touching. And he said, no, this is goat only. And then he went ahead. Now doubt came in the mind of that person. He got the doubt that maybe this person was telling with so much of confidence. Maybe, no, it's goat only. And then he started. Then he came in between the two villages and another rowdy was standing there. And then that rowdy said, or that rogue said, "Hey, Brahmana, why are you carrying a dog with you? Dogs are dirty. You cannot carry a dog." And the Brahmana said, "Hey, I'm carrying a goat. I've just purchased from the other village." And then now to prove and to check for himself, he kept the goat down and he touched various parts of the body. And then he was like, no, it's goat only. And then he put it back and still he was saying, no, it's dog. He said, no, it's goat. Now the doubt which was put by the first person got emphasized more. And now it was really very strong. That doubt was very strong in the mind of the Brahmana. Now he went ahead and he was almost about to reach his village and the third rowdy was standing there. The third rowdy said, "Hey Brahmana, why are you carrying a dog with you?" And now after hearing this, he threw the goat and immediately ran to take bath in the river. And now the other two came and they took the goat and they happily went and don't know what they did something. This is what has happened with all of us. From so many lifetimes, we have been there in this material world. Yes. And every lifetime, this emphasis is so much on the body. And everyone around us have made us believe that you are the body only. Nothing else you are apart from the body. You are not spirit soul. There is nothing called spirit soul. And that is the reason nowadays you see the atheistic people, they have the slogan, life is over, everything over. So drink, eat, drink and marry. Don't worry about anything else. This is almost like that Brahmana. Many, many people have told them that you are the body, you are the body, you are the body, you are the body. And finally the person is, "I am the body, I am the body, I am the body, I am the body." And then finally you come to Gita course and you are not the body, you are spirit soul. And you hear Prabhupada says, "You rascal, you fools. You're not the body or spirit soul." And then when we hear it every single day, then, I'm something different than the body. Okay. So the point that I'm trying to make is, why are we believing that we are the body? Not because this body has captured us. Not because this body has captured us. Because we want to stay in the body. We want to stay in the body. Now tell me, during the time of death, what happens? Now the body is already dead. Now also the body is dead only. When the soul enters, it gives the consciousness to the body. Okay. Now what happens is, during the time of death, what do you mean by death? Death means the soul is pulled out from the body. And what is the pain of death? We talk 40,000 scorpions biting at one time is the pain of death. But what is that pain? Actually, what is that pain? So now when the soul is pulled out from the body, so what is happening is, now it's almost like you're a tenant in one house, a rented house, and then you're very nicely settled. And then the owner comes one day out of, he doesn't give any intimation. He just comes one day and he says, "Get out, come out, come out, come out." And then you're like, "No, I have this photograph, I have this sofa, I've got this fridge, washing machine, I cannot come." And then he's pulling you and then you're like, "No, I'll not come." He's pulling you. You're like, "I'll not come." And they're calling everyone in the house. "Hey, what are you doing? My child, my wife, my relatives, what are you doing? Help me. This person is pulling out me from the house." This is the pain that a person has when he's pulled out from a rented house. This body is also the rented house only. This body belongs to Krishna. He has rented it to us. Okay, so we are there in this body. Now what happens at the time of death is, we are pulled out from the body and we are like, no, I'll not come. This is mine. Are my kids are there, my wife is there, my parents are there, and my dog is there, and cat is there, and so much of wealth, so much of bank balance they have not enjoyed also yet. And then, when all these things are coming, when the person really wants to be in the body, but when Yamapasha is put and the Yamaduta are pulling the soul out of the body, so at that time, this tug of war which is there, that gives the pain. That gives the pain. This is more of on the subtler platform. The pain is not on the body. Sometimes people say that, no, I want a death wherein I'm just lying on the bed and I just die. And sometimes people say he died a very peaceful death. Death can never be peaceful. Whatever you're seeing externally is just the body lying. But what is happening on a subtler platform, on the soul platform, no one can see. No one. This is how much attached the soul is to the body. Yes. So even when he's asked to move out of the body, the soul is like, no, no, I want to be here. So it's not the matter which has captured the soul. The soul is inside the body. It's almost like, no, there's a person whose hand is there, and then he's holding me. Okay. And then, you know, he's shouting, leave me, leave me, leave me. I am not holding you. I'm not holding you. That is what is our current situation. We are with the matter and then we are telling the matter, leave me, leave me, leave me. Array, we have caught the matter. We have to give up the matter. Right. So the point is this, that there is a great distinction between spiritual aspect and material aspect. Okay. Spiritual aspect is always, spiritual entities are always higher. And Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita 7 chapter 5th verse. He says, Apreya mitastvamnyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhuta mahabhav yedam daryate jagat. He's saying, Apreyam itastvanyam prakrite vidhime param. There is a higher energy of mind. He's talking about the living entities, the soul. And what are they doing? They're exploiting the lower energy, and that is the matter. So there's a great difference between the spirit and matter, but unfortunately, we have taken the position below the matter. Okay? And we're giving a lot of importance to the matter. Yes. So the point that I'm trying to make again and again and again is that the spirit and matter, they're completely different. There is no question of similarity. And matter can never capture spirit. Spirit itself has decided, I will remain below the matter, or I'll remain inside the matter. I will be in touch with the matter. Hope this concept is very clear. This is a very important concept. We have not covered this in Gita course. Suddenly it came to my mind. We just spoke about that. Then, you know, it continues that Krishna is absolute, whether he is in the material world or spiritual world. Now you tell me, we are like minute living entities. Balagra shata bhagasya shatada kalpitasya cha. So our, what is our size? 1/10,000 tip of the hair. That is our size. We are part of Krishna. If we have so much of power to be away from the matter, now just imagine, Krishna, Chitghan, completely spiritual. Ocean, he's Sindhu. Now tell me, when he comes to the material world, how can matter touch him? How is it possible that matter can touch him? And he's a personality who is liberated is a very less word, you know, for Krishna, but still we'll use that. Completely liberated personality. Completely away from this material modes of material nature. So when he comes to the material world, you know, he being here in the material or spiritual world, he is not affected by anything. He's not affected by anything. And that's what Prabhupada is saying. When we see partiality in Krishna, this vision is due to his external energy. Otherwise, how could his enemies attain salvation after being killed by him? If Krishna is really partial, actually the answer is given here itself. The answer will be coming later, with a complete different story of Shishupal. But here the answer is directly put by Prabhupada. Prabhupada's purports are like that. He doesn't give any suspense. If you open Bhagavad Gita also, first few verses you read and all the suspense is out. He talks about Sarvadharman Parityaja at start only. Because Prabhupada's mood is, Kali Yuga's years, they don't have much interest. They don't have much focus. What if they just read first page and they just give up Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam? Better I put the conclusion in every single verse throughout. That's what Prabhupada did. Sarvadharman Parityaja's conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. He took that verse and just put in the purports of all the verses, you know, from first chapter to 18th chapter. That's what he's doing here. Everyone who deals with Supreme Personality of Godhead gradually acquires the qualities of the Lord. The more one advances in spiritual consciousness, the less he is affected by the duality of material qualities. The Supreme Lord, therefore, must certainly be freed from these qualities. Now, when it comes to us as devotees, when we start doing bhakti more and more and more, we become more intense in our devotional service. What happens is, we are getting closer and closer and closer to whom? We are getting closer to Krishna. Let's take the analogy. When we're getting closer and closer and closer to fire, automatically we can feel the heat. Automatically we start getting that quality. You touch your body and your body will be hot. Yes? So that's what is happening here. When we get closer to Krishna, automatically we start getting the qualities of Krishna. And one of the important quality, which we have been talking from the first session of Gita course, is the quality of being happy always. And who can be happy? The person, you know, is freed from the dualities of this world. What are the dualities? Happiness, sadness, honor, dishonor, or insult. Yes. And then, we have glorification and then chastisement and so on and so, good, bad, etc. Enemy, friend, etc., etc. All these dualities are actually making us really miserable in this world. Just imagine getting freed from these dualities. The day when we get freed from these dualities, we'll be the most happiest person. No one around us, even if the person is beating us, he'll not be our enemy. Because we'll be able to see he's just acting in the modes of material nature. Now currently mode of ignorance is acting or passion is acting. Right? So when anyone gets closer to Krishna, he gets the qualities of Krishna. And that person becomes really equipoised in every situation. Stable in every situation. Happy in every situation. Then here, Prabhupada is asking the question that when it comes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for sure he has to be free from all these material qualities or material dualities of friendship and enemy. That's what he's saying here. His enmity and friendship are external features presented by material energy. So this enmity and friendship which we see when it comes to Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is the Maya Shakti which is showing us this particular thing. So that's what Prabhupada is saying. That the material energy is trying to present the activities of the Lord to us, and we are believing that because we are in Maya. We have been captured by external energy. We are very, very dear to Maya. Very dear to Maya. Even if Maya Devi says, leave me, we are not leaving her. That is our situation. Even when illusory energy of the Lord is saying that, enough, leave me now. Go back, come back to God. And we are like, no. I've just started enjoying this life. Every life we make a statement like this to Maya. I've just started to enjoy little more. And what is Maya Devi doing? She has a trident in the hand. Durga, she has a trident in the hand. Three miseries that represents. Adi Atmika, sufferings caused by body and mind. Adi Bhautika, suffering caused by other living entities. Adi Daivika, suffering caused by supreme power. Now with this trident, she is hitting us nicely. She is poking us. And we are like, aha, oho, hit me more. This is what we are doing in this world. And we are enjoying that hittings. Only when we start reading Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, we understand, oh, bapre, I've been hit. I've been beaten black and blue. Then we understand. Then we understand, oh, okay, there is some problem here. Material energy is putting some problem. So since we are under Maya, we cannot see Krishna's activities clearly, the transcendental activities of Krishna clearly. That's what Prabhupada is saying here. He is always transcendental. Krishna is always transcendental. There is no doubt. Krishna can never come under Maya. Many people say the Shakti is supreme. And Baba, how can Shakti be supreme? Because Shakti should come from Shaktiman, right? Like when you say energy, energy should have a source. Now Shakti is there, so Shakti has to come from Shaktiman. And who is Shaktiman? Shaktiman is Krishna. Right? So this aspect should be clear. So when Shakti is coming from Shaktiman, Shakti cannot cover Shaktiman. That is the point. So this is a very, very important point that all of us have to understand. So the Mahamaya Shakti or the illusory energy of the Lord or Durga Devi, she cannot cover Krishna. She can cover only us. She cannot cover Krishna, never. So when Mayavadis say that we are under illusion, but we are God and we are under illusion, they are actually wrong at first statement itself, that illusory energy is covering us. So basically they're saying that illusory energy or Maya Shakti is greater than me, greater than God, which is not possible. Not possible at all. Right? So Shakti is lower than Shaktiman, and Shakti cannot cover Shaktiman. This has to be very, very clear to all of us. Yes. Envy and friendship. Okay, he is absolute whether he kills or bestows his favor. We'll understand this statement more in detail. Envy and friendship arise in one who is imperfect. Like people like us. No, we are not perfect. The person who comes and talks nicely with us, best friend. The same person when he chastises, worst of the enemy. Do you see this in our life? The relative who is very favorable to us, favors us very nicely in our needs, he is very dear to us. The relative is not caring for our needs, enemy. So since we are imperfect, we are not able to understand that these relatives are not doing this. Our karma that is happening and three modes of material nature are acting. Right? Since we are imperfect, we are not able to see all this. We are not able to see the transcendence. We fear our enemies because in the material world, we are always in need of help. See, this line is so nice what Prabhupada is writing. Why do we fear with enemies? Because in material world, we are always in the need of help. The Lord, however, does not need anyone's help, for he is Atmaram. See, when Lord is, a person comes to you and he says, your Lord is partial. He takes the side of demigods, and he takes the side of demons. In fact, in future verses, we'll see, Hiranyakashipu, he says, a very nice humorous thing he says, humorous for us, but he was very serious. So he's saying that this Krishna or this Vishnu, he's taking the side of demigods only because these people are feeding him nicely. This Vishnu has become like a small child. When you give sweets to small child, he becomes in favor of that person. This Vishnu has become like that. this is what he's saying. Now you tell me, everything comes from Krishna. Everything comes from Vishnu. He's Purna. Is Upanishad, for the invocation shloka, it says, Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. So the shloka says, Krishna is Purna always. Always Krishna is Purna. Now you cannot say that this material world which has come from Krishna, or spiritual world which has come from Krishna, this entire creation has come from Krishna, and this entire world is complete. So complete is coming out of complete, so now the first complete becomes zero. No. Krishna is infinite. Infinite creation comes from Krishna, but still Krishna remains infinite. This math we can never understand. Infinity minus infinity is not valid in this material world. But in spiritual world, infinity minus infinity is infinity. And that is Krishna. Yes. So this is a very important aspect that we devotees have to understand. What is that? Krishna always remains Purna. He's Atmaram. He's self-satisfied. He doesn't need anything of this world. Nothing he needs. Then there might be a question. Why is Lord saying, Prabhupada is saying this. Why is Lord saying the 9.26? Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhakta prayachati tadaham bhaktya uparitam asnami prayatatmanah. Then why is Krishna saying this? If a devotee offers me with love a little leaf, a flower, a fruit or water, I shall accept it. And Prabhupada is saying, why does the Lord say this? Is he dependent on the offering of the devotee? Do you think Krishna is dependent on our water offering, little water that we offer? Or one leaf of tulsi? One fruit that we offer thinking I'll eat it later? One flower that we offer? Do you think Krishna really needs all these things? Is he really dependent on all these things? No? That's what Prabhupada is asking. And Prabhupada answers, he says, he is not actually dependent. But he likes to be dependent upon his devotees voluntarily. Voluntarily, he wants to depend on his devotees. This is the beauty of Krishna. This is the beauty. When he's showing that he's dependent on devotees, it's not that he wants them. In fact, it's described when Krishna had the 16,108 wives. Every wife would think, oh, my husband has become a henpecked husband. Henpecked means Joroka Gulam. He has become my servant. Only because I'm very, very beautiful. They would think like that, and Krishna would be thinking, "Arey, mad lady, I don't need you. You need me." When Krishna would be resting with that particular queen on the bed, she would be embracing Krishna and sleeping. But Krishna would, early morning would just remove the hand. He'd get up, go take bath and meditate. He was not attached to anyone. Nor he was attached to gopis of Vrindavan. He's not attached to anyone. But seeing the devotional service of his devotees, he becomes dependent on his devotees. Not for the offering that they are giving. Not that we are offering a fruit and Krishna wants the fruit. Not that he wants our chappan bhog. Not that he wants that Swadutsav 108 bhoga. No. No, not at all. Krishna is not interested in that. What he actually likes, or what he is dependent on, or what he accepts is love. So there is one shloka which says, Murkho vadati vishnaye dhiro vadati vishnave ubhayam tu samam punyam bhavagrahi janardhana. So the ones who are murkha, they don't know how to call, you know, Vishnu when they're offering oblations. So they might say, Om Vishnuve Namaha. Now this is not the right pronunciation. The right pronunciation is Om Vishnuve Namaha. So the murkhas who are there, they'll say Om Vishnuve Namaha. But the ones who are dhira, the ones who are knowledgeable, they would say Om Vishnuve Namaha. But Krishna or Vishnu doesn't differentiate between the two. He knows whom they're calling. He knows that they're calling me. So the next line says that Ubhayam tu samam punyam bhavagrahi janardana. Krishna takes the bhava behind the devotee's offering. He's bhavagrahi. Grahi or grahan karna is basically accepting. And what is he accepting? He's accepting bhava, the love aspect. That's what Lord Prabhupada is saying, that he's dependent on his devotees. For what? For the love and nothing else. This is his mercy. This is Krishna's mercy, that he's dependent on his devotees. It's voluntarily decision of Krishna that he's dependent on devotees. Krishna is not forced by anyone to depend. Never. It is his sweet will to give mercy to someone. That's the reason. Every Bhagavatam class we start with, let's beg, let's pray, let's beg, let's pray. Because it's Krishna's desire or Krishna's mood, Krishna's sweet will. I will give mercy or I'll not give. It depends on him. So when we're chanting, now we have to literally call out for Krishna. Are Baba, aaj to mercy de do. At least now. At least now. Why are you really making me cry like this? At least now. Give me mercy, O Lord. Give me mercy. And if Krishna desires, you know, one day sees, you know, our chanting is really good, okay. Tathastu. Yes. Tathastu, or Krishna will come and, you know, if he want to do more pastimes, he'll come and pull our hair. Or he'll slap us. Yes, that's more intimate pastime. Similarly, he does not fear the asuras. Thus, there is no question of partiality in Supreme Personality of God. Hope you all understood. So, Krishna does not need anything from anyone. He is the reservoir of pleasure. So, no one else of this world, you know, can give pleasure to Krishna. Okay. But Krishna voluntarily accepts, you know, all the things that is given by his devotees. Yes. And then now the question that is asked in this verse text 2 is, so if this is the position of Krishna, then what will he derive from demigods? What will he derive from demigods? And what these demigods can give him? You know, suppose Krishna says that, okay, you give me, I'll accept. But what can these demigods give him? They don't have anything. All the power these demigods derive is from Krishna. What will they give to Krishna? And if Lord is transcendental, then why should the Lord fear the asuras? Lord, like suppose, when we're defending ourselves from someone, it means we're fearful of someone. Either subtly or grossly, we're fearful of that person. So we defend ourselves. Now Krishna is not fearful of anyone. He's there in everyone's heart as Paramatma. Why should he be fearful? Only because now we don't know the other person's mood, we become fearful. But Krishna knows the mood and the activities of every person. Every person. So why he has to be fearful? And only when we need something from someone, or like someone has something and then I don't have that particular thing. Okay. So like, for example, you know, that person has a lot of money and I don't have that money. So I, being envious of that person, I would like to pull that money. So that is my enviousness. I want that. He shouldn't have. I want it. But why will Krishna do that for anyone? Everything in this world is his. Why will he be envious of anyone? So Parikshit Maharaj is saying, oh, Shukadeva Goswami, I'm not understanding. Tell me, why is Lord taking the side of demigods? He doesn't need anything from demigods. Demigods cannot give anything to them. And the other side is, asuras are not his enemies. And he's not envious of asuras. And then why is it that he's taking the side of demigods? And why is he killing asuras? Hope the entire question is clear. This is called as a question. To understand the question, we take 45 minutes. This is called question, you know. So when we put forward a question, you know, it should be, you know, of this quality. Of this quality. Yes. But anyways, only Parikshit Maharaj can ask these questions. We cannot. Verse 3. Translation. O greatly fortunate learned Brahmana. Again, no, Parikshit Maharaj is continuing. Whether Narayan is partial or impartial has become a subject of great doubt. Kindly dispel my doubt with positive evidence that Narayan is always neutral and equal to everyone. See, this is the difference between the question of a devotee and an atheist. What atheistic people say? That I don't believe in God because I cannot see him. Prove it to me. Prove it to me if he really exists. And a devotee, he completely accepts Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana as Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then his questions are, how can I get closer to Krishna? And now he's asking this question that I'm doubtful. I want to understand Lord is partial or not, and this will help me to get closer to Krishna. So all the questions that we also ask in our life, we might be very much interested in technicalities of various aspects, but the question that we have to ask is, how can I get closer to Krishna? I mean, any question that we ask, the background of that should be, how can I get closer to Krishna? That is the main important thing. It's not that we get to dig into technicalities of one question or, you know, some aspect and then go and digging, and that will take us nowhere, right? But now Parikshit Maharaj's question is very, very important. He's saying that, please dispel my doubt. Is Lord Narayan or Krishna partial or impartial? Purport: since Lord Narayan is absolute, his transcendental activities are described as one. Thus his punishments and his offerings of favor are both of the same value. Essentially, his inimical actions are not a display of enmity towards his so-called enemies. But in the material field, one thinks that Krishna is favorable to devotees and unfavorable to non-devotees. When Krishna finally instructs in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Braja, this is meant not only for Arjuna, but for every living entity within this verse, in this universe. So basically, Prabhupada is saying that when it comes to Lord, he's absolute. If he slaps someone or he, you know, keeps his hand on someone, I mean, he slaps someone to give punishment or he keeps his hand on someone to give his blessing, both are same. Finally, the person is coming in touch with Krishna, he's purified, he'll be delivered. He's absolute. Like, for example, fire's absolute quality is what? Burning. Now, you go to the fire with the mood of envy, or a person goes to the fire with the mood of love and you embrace, what will happen? The fire will burn. Similarly, when it comes to Krishna, he's absolute. Absolute means there's no relativity. His qualities don't change with time. He's absolute. Like our qualities change. When someone does favor to us, we become very, very inclined towards that person. We become partial towards that person. We take side of that person. That's how politics comes into picture, right? And someone who is not caring for us, someone who is not giving us something, we become away from that person. We isolate ourselves from that person. We go away from that person. So this basically says that one who is favorable, we take side of that person. One who is not favorable, we go away from that person. Why? Because we are relative. Our mood is relative. Our mood is not absolute. We don't have absolute quality in this material world. We have the duality, friend and enemy. But when it comes to Krishna, he's absolute. Absolute. He doesn't have relative. He doesn't change with situations. No, never. He's absolute. He's full of mercy. He's very kind. He's very, very loving. He's very, very caring. Those are his qualities. And this absolute quality cannot be changed. And anyone who comes to Krishna and Krishna slaps that person, or Krishna keeps his hand on the person, both the time Krishna is touching the person, and that person will get delivered for sure. Because he has come in touch with Krishna. Simple example, Putana. What did Putana do? She came to kill Krishna. Yes. But she took Krishna in the hand and Krishna sucked the breast milk of Putana along with the poison, along with the life air. And what happened to Putana? She went back to spiritual world. She went back to spiritual world. And when it comes to other personalities, other devotees, you know, who are there, who are rendering service to Krishna, and Krishna comes and he personally accepts, like Shabari, he personally accepted the offering, you know, from her, and you know, he blessed her. She went back home, back to Godhead. In both the cases, enemy also and friend also, the one who is externally seeing as enemy or friend, both of them are attaining Krishna. Why? Because Krishna is absolute. Anyone who comes in this touch of this absolute personality gets the absolute mercy. Gets the absolute mercy. But in future, we'll see, becoming an enemy is not a good idea. Okay, text 4 and 5. Translation. The great sage Shukadeva Goswami starts speaking from here. Now, Parikshit Maharaj has put forward his doubt. But to be very frank, Parikshit Maharaj doesn't have a doubt here. Okay. There are so many people sitting, some 60,000, more, not 60,000, I guess lakhs of people are sitting in the assembly in Haridwar where Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami are discussing Bhagavatam. And there are different categories of people who have come to hear Bhagavatam. So for the benefit of everyone, and in future, like us, when we're discussing, just to clear our doubt, Parikshit Maharaj is like an anchor who is asking questions to the the host, asking question to the guest. What are the questions? Like I answered or I gave this analogy before also, that when this health show is going on, so the anchor is asking the doctor, say a cancer doctor, cancer specialist, doctor, please tell me, what are the symptoms of cancer? How does this happen? And what is the solution? TB specialist comes and then the anchor is asking, what are the symptoms of this? What is the medicine for this? How does it come? Then we have some corona specialist. We don't have yet, but suppose in future we have. Doctor, tell, how is it that this small invisible virus, how does it enter? How to remove this virus from the body? And so on and so forth. Now the anchor is asking all this question. It doesn't mean anchor has cancer, TB, AIDS, corona or whatever. Anchor doesn't have. Anchor is asking for the benefit of all the viewers. And we are all seeing that movie. We are watching. Shukriya Goswami Parikshit talking. We are watching this. And Parikshit Maharaj looking. These people in Zoom session. Complete ignorant people. Let me ask question and clear their doubts. The speaker and listener, everyone in ignorance. Let me ask this question to my Gurudev, Shukdev Goswami, for the benefit of people in Kali Yuga on 29th April 2020, when they want to discuss, their doubt will be cleared. And Shukdev Goswami understood. He understood, such people are going to assemble in future. Let me answer the question. Then Shukdev Goswami starts speaking. Let's hear what Shukdev Goswami wants to say. The great sage Shukdev Goswami said, my dear king, you have put before me an excellent question. Discourses concerning the activities of the Lord in which the glories of his devotees are also found are extremely pleasing to devotees. That's what we all are doing. We all are relishing. We are doing sense gratification here, spiritual sense gratification. Hearing nicely about whom? About the Lord and devotees, and we are relishing. Yes? 1 hour, 1.5 hour, we are just there. God, we want to hear more. Yes. Such wonderful topics always counteract the miseries of materialistic way of life. Now, when we're discussing this Bhagavatam, no one is worried about lockdown. No one is worried about what will happen to grocery, this work, that work. We are just immersed. Sometimes we're so immersed that we forget our rounds are also pending. Therefore, great sages like Narada always speak upon Srimad Bhagavatam because it gives one the facility to hear and chant about the wonderful activities of the Lord. Let me offer my respectful obeisances onto Srila Vyasadeva and then begin describing topics concerning the activities of Lord Hari. Now, two personalities are named here, Narada and Vyasadeva. For your information, Narada Muni and Vyasadeva are also sitting in that assembly. So, Shukadeva Goswami pointing towards Narada and he's saying that therefore great sages like Narada always speak upon Srimad Bhagavatam because it gives one the facility to hear and chant the wonderful qualities of the Lord. And then he looks towards Vyasadeva, his own father, and then he says, let me offer my respectful obeisances to Vyasadeva, and then start speaking about this topic. This is very difficult to comprehend. These great personalities are sitting, and this Shukadeva Goswami, who is there, he was just in his teens. He was in his teens, and he's speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. Look at this wonderful setup, which is there. Purport. In this verse, Shukadeva Goswami offers his respectful obeisances Krishnaya Munaya, which means to Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa. One must first offer one's respectful obeisances to one's spiritual master. That's what we do in every session by chanting Om Ajnana Timirandasya. So what does this mean? Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya. Om Ajnana Timirandasya. So I am in Ajnana. I am in darkness. And what does the spiritual master do? Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya. He lights the light of Jnana. Chakshur Unmilitam Yena. Our eyes are closed. We are in ignorance. What he does? Unmilitam Yena. Chakshur Unmilitam Yena. That person who has opened my eyes, I offer my repeated obeisance to that spiritual master. That's what is the sloka that we chant. Om Ajnana Timirandasya. Then Prabhupada says, Shukadeva Goswami's spiritual master is his father, Vyasadeva, and therefore he first offers his respectful obeisances to Srila Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa and then begins describing topics of Lord Hari. Whenever there is an opportunity to hear about transcendental activities of the Lord, we must take it. So Prabhupada is saying that don't miss a single session that we are having every day from Bhagavatam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends Kirtanya Sadahari. One should always engage in Krishna Katha by chanting and talking about Krishna and hearing about him. That is the only occupation of a Krishna conscious person. Today itself, put your papers. Resign your job. What is our occupation? Our occupation is chanting and hearing about Krishna. That is what is our occupation. So the point that Prabhupada is trying to make here is, we have to, you know, make our lifestyle in such a way, whatever we are, and you know, whatever professional person we are, we have to modify our lifestyle in such a way that we get good amount of time for hearing and chanting and you know, reading scriptures. The recommended time for chanting and reading is 2 hours of chanting, 16 rounds, and minimum half an hour to 1 hour of reading, half an hour to 1 hour of hearing. So if suppose we are able to give this 2 to 3 hours or 4 hours a day, that's what is enough. Then we can say, yes, now we are practicing bhakti. Now we have come to certain stage. It need not be a jump. Slowly and steadily we can go, with the help of our mentors. They are there to hold our hands and pick us up. So slowly and steadily, we come to the stage where we want to hear more and more and more and more, and doesn't end. It doesn't end. Whenever we hear, we have a Bhagavatam class online, immediately we just log in. Whenever we hear, lockdown has opened and PK Sports, our sessions are going on, immediately we run to that place. Like gopis ran to meet Krishna, giving up all the work. We run to that place. We are getting a chance to hear about Krishna. And it doesn't matter who is the speaker. It doesn't matter. What matters to us? The speaker is speaking Bhagavatam. In fact, to be very frank, I'm really very clear about this, that my students should be attached to me. Many people say that, we like your classes, so we are attending your classes. That's okay. I'll not be very much pleased with that. The day when you say that, Prabhu, I'm very much interested in Bhagavatam, so I'm attending your classes, and you are not making any difference between any devotee who is speaking, that is something which will really please us. Yes. So the content is more important and not the person. And that's very, very important. Some people might be very, very exemplary, or they might be very, very magnetic when they speak. They might be very charismatic when they speak. So that is their quality. By Lord's mercy, they've got that benediction. But even when we hear from a person who is very simple, we should be very, very attentive. Why? Because Bhagavatam is spoken. Bhagavatam is spoken. Right? That's what here he's saying. The devotees are very eager. Oh, Krishna Katha. Oh, Krishna Katha. He's talking about devotees. Let me hear. Let me hear. Let me hear. And why devotees are so eager? Because devotees only aim is to attain Krishna this very lifetime. Gopis are saying to Krishna, they're offering a prayer and they're saying, Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam kavibhiriditam kalma shapaham shravanamangalam shrimadatatam bhuvigranantiye bhurida janaha. They're actually telling Krishna that, oh Krishna, Tava kathamritam, your kathas are like nectar. Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam, for whom? For those people who are tapta, who are fried out in this material world. Tapta jivanam, kavibhiriditam, kalma shapaham. And anyone who hears your katha, anyone who hears the katha of your devotees, what happens? Kalma shapaham. All the kalmash which is there in the heart will be removed. And then they say, kalma shapaham, bhuvi grinantiye bhuridajanaha. And those people who speak this katha and spread this katha all over the world, they are bhurida. They are magnanimous personalities. There is no comparison to such people. This is what the gopis are saying. Yes. So this gives us another hint that we should get into preaching. We should speak about Krishna. Whomever we meet, we get an opportunity to speak about Krishna. Right? Text 6. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is always transcendental to material qualities, and therefore is called a nirguna, or without qualities. Because he is unborn, he does not have a material body to be subjected to attachment and hatred. Although the Lord is always above material existence, through his spiritual potency, he appeared and acted like an ordinary human being, accepting duties and obligations, apparently like a conditioned soul. Purport. The so-called detachment and obligations pertain to material nature, which is an emanation from Supreme Personality of Godhead. But whenever the Lord descends and acts in this material world, he does so in a spiritual position. Now see, one thing is clear, that this body is giving rise to attachment and detachment. Someone comes and slaps us, we'll not love that person for sure. Someone comes and embraces with a lot of love and affection, now we love that person. But whom is the person slapping? Whom is the person embracing? This body. And what is this body? A lump of matter. So someone comes and slaps and someone embraces us. Because of the bodily relation, we get involved in a relationship with that person. Either enmity or friendship. But Krishna doesn't have a material body. He doesn't have a material body. So when he doesn't have a material body, he will not get into this duality of this material world. And although his activities materially appear different, spiritually they are absolute and non-different. Thus, it is an imposition upon the Supreme Lord to say that he is envious of anyone or friendly to anyone. Anyone who says this, they are Pashandis. They are gone case. They don't know about Krishna. They are atheistic. Who says that Krishna is friendly and he's friendly to someone and he's an enemy of someone. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord clearly says, Avajananti mamudha manushyam tanum ashritah. Manushyam tanum ashritam. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. So the ones who are fools, they say that Krishna, when he comes here, he takes a material form. And since he takes a material form, he's partial to some people in favorable way and he's unfavorable to some people. And Krishna is saying himself that they're fools. Krishna appears on this earth or within this universe without any change in his spiritual body or spiritual qualities. Indeed, he is never influenced by material qualities. He is always free from such qualities, but he appears to act under material influence. See, this word nirguna, don't get dissuaded by this word nirguna. Nirguna means without qualities. But without which qualities? Without material qualities. So there are many organizations which quote some shlokas and they say, see, nirguna, Lord does not have any qualities. It means Lord does not have a form. Lord is light. This is what they say. So nirguna basically means not having material qualities, but Lord has spiritual qualities. We have to be very, very clear with this. Therefore, he is always free from such qualities, but he appears to act under material influence. This understanding is aropita or an imposition. Therefore, Krishna says, janma karma chame divyam. Whatever he does, being always transcendental, has nothing to do with material qualities. Janma, karma, that is Krishna's birth or appearance, and Krishna's activities, karma, they are divya, they are transcendental. Evam yoveti tattvataha. Only devotees can understand the truth of how he acts. Tattva, only devotees can understand. Now, so much of tattva we have been discussing today's session and in the previous session. So only devotees can understand this. No, materialists cannot understand. They will get bored. Like, kya bol rahe? What are these people speaking? The fact is that Krishna is never partial to anyone. He is always equal to everyone. But because of imperfect vision, influenced by material qualities, one imposes material qualities upon Krishna. And when one does so, he becomes a mudha or a fool. When one can properly understand the truth, one becomes devoted and nirguna, free from material qualities. Simply by understanding the activities of Krishna, one can become transcendental. And as soon as one is transcendental, he is fit to be transferred to transcendental world. Tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mametu sa Arjuna. One who understands the activities of the Lord in truth is transferred to spiritual world after he gives up this material body. So basically, see, this shloka is very clear. It says, anyone who understands Lord in his original position, in tattva, in truth, what happens? That person becomes eligible to go back home back to Godhead. If you are aiming to go back home back to Godhead, if you are aiming to attain Krishna, we have to understand Krishna and his devotees in tattva, in truth. And when we understand the tattva, and then when we hear Krishna Leela, aha, that will be like, nectar 2 years. Then, we'll be in tears when we hear Krishna stealing butter. Then, when we hear Krishna stealing butter, we go to that verse, where we understand. But he owns everything. Everything comes from him. He's stealing butter for whom? For his devotees. Are bapre, how merciful he is. Yes, so when we understand tattva, then we can relate to Krishna's pastimes. If we don't understand tattva, then we'll have, how does Krishna steal makhan? What sort of God he is? How can we worship him? then we will not relish pastimes. We will start doing aparadha. Right? So this entire chapter, what we are discussing, is going to clear all our doubts when it comes to tattva and truth. Right? So please make sure that we don't miss even a single session of this, because we're going to discuss a lot of tattva, we're going to discuss a lot of pastimes, and we're going to discuss a lot about various devotional qualities of the Lord. So today, for the first time, we have completed 6 shlokas.
Yes.
Tomorrow, we'll try to cover even more, and we'll discuss various aspects of this. And 2 things, you know, we'll like to do after the session ends. So I'm ending the session now and trying to take the questions. So 2 things we'll do is, every day after the session, please post your realizations in your respective Bhakti Vriksha groups. This will help us to revise what tattva we have learned, because tattva is very difficult to hold. So whatever you have understood, post in the group. I'm sure we'll not understand everything. Okay. So whatever you understood, let's post in the group, and then let's read what others are understanding, and then let's discuss. Yes, this is the first thing. And the other thing is, you know, when we are coming to the session, every single session we come and we miss one session, we make sure we hear the audio. This is what are the 2 things that I would request all the devotees to do. Yes, without fail. Without fail. So please post your questions. We'll answer your questions now. Srinivas Prabhu is asking, a person leaving body during sleep also will... No, there is nothing called a sleep when you are leaving the body. What is sleeping? This body is seen as sleeping, but the person inside is struggling like anything. No one sees what the soul is going through, and soul never sleeps. Spirit soul never sleeps. See, spirit soul has the quality of Sat Chit Ananda. Is eternal, is full of bliss, and he is all knowledgeable. So he is never in ignorance. Spirit soul is never in ignorance. But the covering that spirit soul has, the mind and intelligence, that actually plays all the game. So what the sleep is all about? The sleep is all about the quality of buddhi or manaha. The quality of buddhi or manaha is sleep. So there's a verse which says, which talks about sleep, and it talks about this particular quality. So this quality of sleep is not with respect to soul. Let's be very clear. And not even with respect to the body also. Because the body is not sleeping. Body is anyways dead. Always the body is dead. But since the soul is inside, it gives consciousness not to the body, and the body starts acting. But the subtle body, which is there, the mind and buddhi, that actually goes into different stages, sleep and other things. And even at that time, you see, even when you call it as, you know, sleep, still we are doing so much of activity in the dream. So much of activity in the dream. Yes? Mind takes us for a game altogether. If soul is sleeping, then why is it in the dream we are so active? Why are we so active in the dream? So this is a very, very subtler science. More subtler than the subtler science. Yes? Where we are not talking about the subtle body. We are talking about spirit soul, and spirit soul never sleeps. Never. It's the ignorance covers it, and then it appears that the spirit soul is sleeping. So now if the spirit soul is not sleeping, then where is the question of asking that even during sleep, the soul has to go to the struggle or not? Yes, even during sleep, even during coma, in any state, in any, even during coma, sleep is different. Coma is a state where the person is half dead. Even in that state, when the person leaves his body, it's not a peaceful death. The soul is pulled out in the same intense fashion like he'll be pulled out when he's alive. I mean, he's fit. It is pulled out very badly from the body, and he feels that pain. That struggle is there. Hope Srinivas Prabhu, this answers your question. Monomita Mataji, 1.35, it is mentioned that Lord does not excuse anyone who has done harm to his devotees. In that case, he will punish the wrongdoer, and they may not get delivered, unlike Putana. How do we understand this in the view of partiality argument? Oh, that's a very heavy question that you're asking. That's a very heavy question, a very nice question. So her question is that when Lord is in favor of devotees, you know, what is happening? What is happening here? So that person is not getting delivered. So when we say that when someone does Vaishnava Aparad, Lord doesn't forgive that person. So what is this basically? You know, what is happening here? What is happening here? So what Lord is doing is, Lord punishes that person and takes him away from that particular devotee whom Vaishnava Aparad is committed. If he doesn't do that, the person will go on committing Vaishnava Prad and eternally will rot in this particular place of material world. So Lord does a favor to that person by taking him away from that devotee, and that is the punishment. And when the Lord punishes, so obviously the person will go away from that person, right? So it is said that we don't preach to a person who doesn't have faith. So doesn't have faith, who is really very much atheistic. We try, and once we understand he's atheistic, we don't preach to that person. Why? Because if he starts committing a lot of offenses, then he'll remain his material forever. So that is the point. So Lord is giving punishment to someone and still he is doing a favor. How? By taking him away from that person so that he doesn't commit more aparath to the person. Hope this answers your question, Monomita Mataji. Chatur Prabhu is asking, I heard that singing Narsimha Kavacha Stotram for 32,000 times in one lifetime can attain highest perfection. Sri Hare. So can we chant that mantra every day? Not needed. Mahamantra is enough. Let's have this complete faith. Mahamantra is enough to go back home back to Godhead. Yes? We need not shift to any other mantra. This is called chastity. We have to be chaste to the Mahamantra. Okay, we can do that. But it's not on the cost of Mahamantra. It's not like we undermine the power of Mahamantra and give another mantra a higher level. Then we'll be, I don't want to take that name. Will be like that lady who does not chase to the husband and going behind someone else. So our quality or our commitment is our chastity. Come what may, we don't shift away from Mahamantra. Come what may. So this is the chastity to our Guru, Prabhupada, and this is the chastity to Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has given us the Mahamantra. So never ever we doubt the power of Mahamantra. Never ever we give any other mantra more importance than Mahamantra, and never ever we stop chanting Mahamantra. So, for you, I would say there is no need. Please post these shlokas in group. Which shloka? We are reading from 7th canto and 1st chapter. So, you can refer, these are the shlokas that we are discussing. How to make all the activities we do into devotional service in a practical way. So, this needs a lot of meditation and consultation with our superior. So whatever we are doing, we ask a question. Will this please Krishna? If it pleases, we do it. If it doesn't, we don't do. And whatever activities we do, like for example, I'm an employee. So when I'm working, so one thing that I was speaking to one of the devotees in this group. So I was speaking that how we can convert our work also to bhakti. So when we're working, so at that time we tell ourselves that I'm working for Krishna. And we literally prove it. When we get salary, we give a part of it as donation. Either we use it, that particular amount that we have kept for Krishna, we use it to make a very big altar in our house, serve the altar very nicely. We give a big chunk of it not to donation in the temple. We use it to invite devotees to our house. So in this way, we very well know I'm doing it for Krishna. Because at the end, your results also you're giving it to Krishna. Physically you're giving it. Right? So this is very, very important. This is called as working for Krishna. When we're studying the same thing, if I study well, I'll be able to serve Krishna better. So I'm studying for Krishna. I'm working for Krishna. Why should I beget a child or why should I have a family or whatever? So that I can get everyone to Krishna consciousness. So this is the mood. This is the mood with which we start working. Yes. I would request Deepak Prabhu to post the attendance for today. Harish Prabhu, we will be a fool to think about molecular structure of a mango rather than eating and relishing the same when it's in front of us. Yes. Yes. So, I don't know how to take this as. Is it a comment or is it a criticism? I don't know. But I'll take it in a positive way. It's very, very important when Krishna is there, when Bhagavatam is there, we relish that, understanding the tattva of it. What does the spirit soul do when the body goes to sleep? Spirit soul is on a ride always. Either it will be New York, London. Mind will take us at every different place. So mind is showing us a picture and spirit soul is sitting and watching. Now currently also we're seeing a picture of this world. Similarly, mind shows us a picture. Thinking Krishna is partial to demigods should not be the case is demigod not a position rather than a person? A position given by Krishna, if a soul qualifies for it, that's difference, that they may also start enjoying the higher pleasures and eventually fall down again. See, when it comes to these people who have acquired this position as demigods, so they are on a very high position. They are surrendered to Krishna. They are of that position. And Krishna, literally, he has a lot of faith on those people. And even when they're falling down, look at this. When Brahma, he tried testing Krishna, he pulled Brahma down. He said, "Zyada upar mat jao, niche aao." When Indra tries doing Mary's activities, he pulls Indra down. So Krishna is very, he takes care that his devotees remain as devotees. Same with us also. Try becoming proud and see what happens. Okay, next question. Isha Mataji says, the Supreme Lord is called Krishna. If I understand correctly, Krishna name is related to color, which is a materialistic thing. Can you please help me understand the significance of the name? As Lordship is about Tattva, as we discussed. Okay. So when it comes to this Krishna, the word itself means black. Yes. But also it means Akarshan. Akarshan se Krishna has come. But the first thing is, from the person Krishna, all these things have come. Since he is black, Krishna, that word means black. Since he is attractive, so that word means attractive. So source is Krishna. Tattva is, Krishna is absolute. And since his name is absolute, everything emanates from his name. So whatever we see in this world, that is emanated from this name. So we might call something as like Krishna to be a material word. But it's actually not material. It's actually spiritual. Like when Ajamil called out for Narayan, his son, who came? Vishnudadas came. Because the original word Narayan is not of that boy. The original word Narayan is actually Narayan, the absolute person. So he says, you call anyone, I'll only come. You call your boy, your son, or you call your maid or whatever, so I'll only come. So absolute. So Krishna's name is there, and from the name, all these things have come. Hope this answers your question. So the only punishment the wrongdoer is getting, the person away from devotees, that was not clear. Example, in Durvasa Muni's case, that is not what happened. He still got him back to Amrish Maharaj. There are different aspects what Lord does. The main thing is, if the person is really a dumb person, he takes that person away. Durvasa Muni is not a dumb person. He's a great personality. So what did he make Durvasa Muni understand? You're not great. This personality is great. He made the person humble. He pulled him down. That's what he did with Indra also. He pulled Indra down. Even in Samudra Manthan pastime, he pulled the demigods down, saying, don't be too egoistic and proud. So he pulls his devotees down, or people are offending down, just so that they remain humble and they become favorable and accept the mercy that is coming from Krishna. That is the reason Krishna does this. If a person is in corona, can he still coma? Oh, sorry. What to do? Corona season. No, I see everything as corona. Coma, can he still go back to Godhead? Since he cannot think of God at that time of death, or is it otherwise? Does the spirit soul still be thinking of God at that time of death, or is it otherwise? Does the spirit soul still be able to remember Krishna, since the conscious mind may be gone into coma? Actually, in devotees, it is seen there are many instances where the person has gone to coma, and then he comes out, he starts loudly chanting, Krishna, Krishna, he has come, and he leaves the world. See, Krishna can do anything. If we are sincere in our life, this is an incentive for all of us to become sincere. If we are sincere in our life, and in future, God forbid this shouldn't happen, but in future, suppose we get into the most abominable condition of the body, most critical condition of the body, suppose, that condition we get through or get into, still, since we were sincere, Krishna will reciprocate. What talk about coma? When we are dying, our situation is like Kapha, Pitta and Vayu are blocking all the nine holes of the body. There is no question of remembering Krishna at that particular time. This is the question he posed to Narad Muni. Narad Muni is asking Krishna, Krishna, tell me, at the time of death, there is so much of problem which is there. And in this particular problem of Kapha, Pitta, Vayu blocking all the parts of the body, how can someone chant your name? How will that person come to you? Oh Krishna, how will that person come to you? And Krishna says, if that person will not remember, and if he was sincere in his life doing bhakti, I will go and stand in front of that person. I will force myself into his remembrance. Now tell me, O Narada, how will my devotee not remember me? So the point is that we have to be sincere in our life. And at the time of death, which is almost, which is more than a coma state, we'll be able to remember Krishna. Please let me know if this has not answered your question or partly. I would like to clarify more. Okay. Harish Prabhu, I was just joking. Okay, so today we had 69 participants. Sushant Prabhu, how we pronounced God name, Krishna or Krishna? Because I have heard that Krishna is the name given to Draupadi. Because, okay, correct me. So the way we write, so it's not, it's Krishna. 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 This is how we chant. So that na which is there, that's na, since that doesn't have a line up, we don't say it as na. So that's how it is. Yes. But you know, when we are speaking about him, you know, we can maybe, you know, we'll say Krishna or whatever. But now since the mood is we are calling that person, so it's okay. In fact, the Chinese, they pronounce this as Krishna, Krishna. Yes. But still Krishna knows, you know, whom the person is calling. So we say Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So that's the pronunciation. Thanks. Understood both Koma and Vaishnava Prada. Okay. Last question for the day. When Lord descends in this world, he brings his eternal associates with him. Does it mean even Duryodhana and other Kauravas were also Lord associates? Yes, this is what is my understanding. This is what I've heard also. They were. They were. When the soul gets out of the body, subtle body takes the soul along with it. So how super soul is going out of the body? So super soul is always with the soul attached. Take them attached. So this, wherever the soul goes, super soul just, you know, follows the soul. This also goes on to say that how much foolish we people are. We are making Lord follow us. We have to follow the Lord, but Lord is following us. Yes. Just because he cares for us, he starts following us wherever we go. And can you imagine, now since you have brought this topic, can you imagine Lord enters with us even the body of a dog, hog, a worm in the stool? Can you imagine? Only for us. Only for us. So basically super soul, he follows wherever the soul goes. And super soul does not need any medium. Super soul can travel by himself. Soul is entrapped in the subtle body, so subtle body is taking the soul to a different body. Yes? But when it comes to super soul, he's not entrapped by anyone and no one can entrap him. Hope this clears your doubt. So let's stop today's session here.